Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, titled, Through His Blood. This is part 2 of 2.
Beginning verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, if you're saved, that's your future. But verse 22, this is the here and now. For we know, read that with me. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So next time Tracy gets up out of her chair, and I'm sure she don't do it yet. But one of these days, Tracy's going to get up off the couch, boys, and she's going to go, oh. And then one of these days you're going to join her in that chorus. I remember as a kid, and I'd see my grandparents, especially, you know, and I thought, they're not putting on. They'd be getting just out of the chair, and you'd hear them go, like, yeah. Yeah. Well, we got something to look forward to. It says in verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, look at this, groan within ourselves. That's almost my life verse now. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, some of us don't know what this is about. Some do. Dave Thomas, the Wendy's cup you get now, says, what does it say? Without adoption, Wendy's wouldn't exist. But sometimes a kid is told he's going to be adopted, but he has to wait for all the government gears and everything. And that can be kind of tense for some kids, I'm sure it is. Well, that's where we are. But see, our adoption is better than that, even, because our adoption involves God the Father. And He has given us His Word. We are adopted. Now, you look in the mirror, or you just get out of the chair, and some of you, and you know there's something wrong here. But that's the thing is, you are adopted, but we're still waiting to be picked up. You ever seen the movies where a kid's adopted and he's standing outside waiting for the family to come and get him? And that car pulls up and their face, I get tears. I watch movies like that, it just hits me. And you know what? That's where we're at. We're standing out right there waiting for the car to come by. Come up hither! And you get your new body. And you'll get a new name. Just like a kid who's adopted now gets a new last name. You get adopted. Your body goes up. We get the new everything. It's awesome, isn't it? But why? What happened? It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Now I want you to look at your Bible there. You got your Bible. Colossians chapter 1, where we're at, and verse 14. We read it. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Blood is an identifying mark of Messiah. Jesus' death without the shedding of blood would have disqualified Him. If they had strangled Jesus, hung Him with a rope, drowned Him, anything that did not involve the shedding of blood would have immediately disqualified Jesus. He could not have been the Messiah. The Messiah had to shed blood. Jesus had to die in order to save sinners. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what that little tract, that pamphlet you got, explains. Jesus had to die. What does the death of a Jew 2,000 years ago got to do with me? Without it, you go to hell. God came as a man named Jesus. And He died and shed His blood to pay for your sins. God gave us a checklist, see? We don't just believe in Jesus because, you know, I like the name Jesus. I think I'll worship Him. You know, that's not what it is. He gave us a checklist, identifying marks that the true Messiah would fulfill. He had to be a descendant of David. 2 Samuel 7, 12 to 16. He had to be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7, 14. He had to be born in Bethlehem, according to Micah 5, 2. He appeared after the 69th week of Daniel that we've been studying on Wednesdays, Daniel 9, 25 and 26. Do you realize if Jesus Christ isn't the Messiah, we're all damned? The 69th week is over, and if Jesus wasn't Him, we're all damned. They would pierce His hands and His feet, so we know it wasn't going to be by hanging or drowning. He was the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, and He would be resurrected bodily, Psalm 16, 8 through 11. Now, those are just some of them. You know, there's 300 plus identifying marks. And if Jesus missed one of them, He couldn't be the Messiah. The odds of any one man fulfilling those 300, actually, it's just if you narrow it down to, I think it's something like 40 or something like that. Just by fulfilling those, it's the odds of one man doing that are like 1 to 100 to the 36th power. And what that means is it's the odds are 1 to more than the known electrons in our universe. One man fulfilling all those is that impossible. And yet Jesus did it. But if He didn't shed His blood, it would have been meaningless. He had to shed His blood. And one required identifier was that Jesus would come as the Lamb and die shedding His what?
Blood.
Hebrews 9:22 said, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." Now, animal blood offered in faith and obedience to the law, the Levitical law from Moses, put a sinner in remission. Now, you recognize that word. But redemption required the blood of Jesus. So, cancer, for example, is in remission, is not cured. If you know somebody who has cancer and it's in remission, praise God, but it's not a cure. And many times, sadly, it'll come back on them. Charles Krauthammer just announced this week, Fox News, that he thought he was in remission, and then after a few weeks of no cancer showing up, over a month, he went back and it's there and it's spread. So pray for him because he needs saved. Charles Krauthammer. But it's bad. Remission basically tabled sin. The blood of animals was something they did in obedience to the law. Therefore, God had respect for that offering, but He couldn't completely wash their sins away, but they were remitted. When redemption happens, it removes guilt. That's why the Old Testament saints went to paradise, not to heaven. If you read your Bible closely, you'll see that the Old Testament believers died and went to a heavenly place, but it was in the middle of the earth, paradise. They couldn't go to heaven yet, not until Jesus had shed His blood. Turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 8 through 10. It says in verse 8, "Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high," that's in Acts chapter 1, "He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Who's in captivity? All the believers were in paradise waiting to be taken out, waiting for the blood of Jesus and the power of His resurrection. Verse 9, "Now that He ascended," what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. You read in Luke 16, the story of the rich man and the beggar, whose name was Lazarus. And the rich man went to hell, but he could see Abraham. because Abraham was in paradise in the earth. And there was a gulf fixed that the Greeks had in their mythology. They called it Styx. The rock group Styx, S-T-Y-X, got their name from that. But that gulf separated paradise from hell. They were there with, and they called it Abraham's bosom because Abraham was the father of the faithful. And they were there until Jesus went down and took them out. 1 Peter 4, 6, real quick. Turn over there. 1 Peter, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, chapter 4, and verse 6. And I'll read verse 5 as you turn there. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Verse 6, read that with me. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Now let me tell you, not every little answer is given to all your questions about this, but I believe you take Scripture with Scripture and the whole of Scripture, and you can see that Jesus went down and preached. He didn't suffer in hell. Amen. Anybody preaches that Jesus suffered in hell is a heretic. Amen. When He was on the cross, God poured all of our sin on Him, and He paid the full price, and He said, "It is finished," before He went into the center of the earth. And when He got down there with hell and paradise, He preached. But to the one side, it was a message of doom. And to the other side, it was a message of deliverance. And He led captivity captive. And we don't have time to run all the references on that, but it's a great study. But it's all about the blood of Jesus. They were down there waiting for Jesus to shed His blood because He's the Passover Lamb. Look in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. You got to read your Old Testament if you're going to understand your New Testament. Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month, this is Nisan, the first month, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. It's like our January. By the way, Israel has changed that to have, they have a new year, for, a religious new year, but they also have a secular new year halfway into the year. Just FYI. Verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a what? According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Look at verse 5. Your lamb shall be without what? A male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. It had to be without blemish because it was picturing Jesus who was without sin. Verse 6. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And verse 7, read that with me. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat. Now look at me. If you are standing in front of the doorpost and you slap that blood where God told you to, it makes a cross. See, this is all picturing Jesus. Verse 12. Look down at verse 12. Don't have time to read through the whole thing. I just want you to see this. In verse 11, it says that it ends by saying, It is the Lord's Passover. And there's a reason why they call it that. Explain verse 12. Read that with me. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13. Read it. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. That's why it's called Passover. If you had the blood on your doorpost, the death angel would pass over you. And that is the picture. You, today, have to have the blood of Jesus applied. And if you don't, then you're just as dead as the Egyptian firstborn. Only it's worse because your death is eternal. God had mercy. A lot of these Egyptian kids went to heaven. They were innocent. Not the older ones, but the younger ones would have. And in John 1:29, turn over there, we see, and there's a lot more to this, but I'm giving you the overview. I mean, if you want me to, I can keep you here till 3. But in John 1, as you read through your Bible, and there's a whole lot of good stuff, of course, and then you come into the New Testament, and you read here in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse 29, and it says, "The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith," read that with me, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That, sadly, a lot of people read that and they don't even know, because they don't know their Old Testament, that he's talking about Jesus being the Passover Lamb. And verse 36, look over there. 35 says, "Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples," read 36, "and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God." Ain't that something? And then you come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. And one of the things, if you read back there in Exodus, you get more detail. They had to purge all the leaven out of their house. Get all the leaven, because that represents sin. And in verse 7, he starts by saying, "Purge out therefore the old leaven." And he's talking about sin and false doctrine. "That ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened." Read that with me. "For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." See, I didn't make that up. Jesus is the Passover Lamb. He shed His blood because God required the shedding of blood. Why? Because the life is in the blood. And Jesus had to shed His blood or He could not have been our Passover Lamb. And just like the Jews back there, you and I needed a Passover Lamb. Now the modern versions remove the blood. Have you seen this? The ESV and the NIV say, "In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." The Laodicean religion, the Laodicean false church with their false new Bibles, they're preaching a false gospel. You listen to them. Who was it was saying it? You watch them on TV, you listen to them on the radio. They don't preach the gospel. Well, he preaches a closer version than most of them, but then he removes the blood. But then you have people like Joel Osteen, these guys say, "Well, if you'd like to be saved, just say this little prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for saving me." And, you know, it's nothing about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Nothing about the blood. Not confronting people with being sinners who are on their way to hell. None of that. Their Bibles remove the blood. The SBC, CSB, Southern Baptists, put out their own new version, another one, called the Christian Standard Bible. And they say, "In Him we have redemption," but then they remove the blood. Modern apostates remove the blood from sermons, songs, and hymns. You listen to your lukewarm contemporary Christian radio station and tell me how many times a day you hear them refer to the blood of Jesus. I listened just out of curiosity not too long ago. Never did hear it. This is just one example. This is a Presbyterian. And he says, "A discussion about a congregation's hymnal becomes a good case study in openness to change versus aversion to change." He says, "When I arrived at my church in the year 2000, the book in the pew racks was Hymns for the Family of God, a very conservative, Baptist-centered, and decidedly non-Presbyterian hymnal. The hymnal was 40 years old and had been used at our church for at least 30. There were no hymns relating to infant baptism." Because it's not in the Bible either. "An unusually poor selection of Easter hymns and only two Advent hymns. The liturgical texts were also not very helpful in speaking to Presbyterian perspectives on Scripture and faith." I'm going to read it the way I hear him saying it. "And at least one third of the hymn selections used washed in the blood imagery. While washed in the blood is authentic biblical imagery, It is not an image that I generally choose to lift up Jesus Christ each Sunday morning. So, in choosing hymns for each Sunday, I had to eliminate one third of the selections from consideration right off the bat. Get rid of those songs you sang this morning. That's what he said. Get rid of There's Power in the Blood. Get rid of Are You Washed in the Blood. Get rid of Nothing But the Blood.
Get rid of Him.
Yeah, amen. Now, here's the thing. Some pretend that all of this talk of blood is just too barbaric. You Baptists, you Bible believers, you Bible thumpers and your bloody religion, they're lying hypocrites. Every 2 seconds, someone in the U.S. needs blood. Nearly 21 million blood components are transfused each year in the United States. Most of those hypocrites who talk about our religion being so barbaric, and they don't think twice about donating blood. A lot of them give money to the American Red Cross. And you better believe when they need blood, they're going to take it. You know, you're just dealing with a faker. Tainted human blood can only save your physical life. All our blood's tainted. You better hope your transfusion just doesn't have something that'll kill you in it. But only the pure blood of God the Son can save your soul. And that's why it says, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. If your so-called religion doesn't include the blood of Jesus, your sins are not forgiven. What an amazing thing to understand and accept.
There's wonderful power in the blood. here.